Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to a Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim is blissfully back online and sounding good over the internet. Thank you, Al Gore, for fixing that over the last 24 hours. And
it's really got a lot better.
Absolutely. Well, there's good news, bad news, and crazy news as always today. Let's start with the good news, and we're actually going to use the word Obama and good news in the same sentence, and it doesn't refer to poll numbers showing him tanking. This is actually something he's done, probably begrudgingly, but nonetheless done, which is a good thing. The president directing his administration to withdraw a controversial smog regulation, also called by some an ozone regulation, that would have basically cost the economy at least somewhere between $19 and $90 billion, which is good if you don't even know between a $70 billion range how much this thing's going to cost the economy. That's probably a good thing to scrap. But it also shows that Obama, as much as he's wedded to his leftist ideology, Jim, that he at least sees a little bit of the handwriting on the wall here and realizes he's got to do a little bit in reining this stuff in.
Yeah, one of the interesting things is that as we speak, I'm seeing praise from the American Petroleum Institute. and that's just not something you see very often, API saying, attaboy, President Obama. This is twofold. One, any regulatory change or any prevention of a new regulation that would hurt job creation and you know, crush entrepreneurship, et cetera, is always a good thing. The other thing is that by making this concession, you know, liberals are starting to recognize, wait a minute, Obama just conceded the argument. That in other words, like, you know, for weeks they've been saying, no, business always complains about regulations. They're always complaining they have too many rules they have to follow. They're all a bunch of social Darwinian Upton Sinclair jungle sausage making, you know, monopoly men who want to, you know, exploit America. And so by Obama coming and saying, you know, maybe they got a point. The idea that regulation is holding back the economy is now not just mainstream, but like bipartisan. The president has conceded that point, and that's a huge concession. Because now Romney and Perry and Bachman and every other Republican can say, look, you know, Obama has come out and recognized, finally, that regulation hurts the economy and hurts job creation. And now, you know, one of the reasons we're in the lousy situation we are, foreshadowing the second martini, is that, you know, because there's been, you know, way too much wild runaway growth of the regulatory state over the past 3 years.
I guess my only reaction as a caveat would be only 218 to go, because John Boehner cited 219 that would cost the economy $100 million or more. This would obviously be one of them. There's a whole lot more to go. And so part of me feels like this is Obama's little chip that he throws at conservatives, kind of like the one part of the health care plan that he allowed to be repealed, while there's a whole mountain full of garbage that's still standing in the way between businesses and the certainty they need to start hiring again and projecting growth again. So
I concur. I just, you know, waiting for the day we have good news.
Exactly.
And apparently we'll be waiting at least one more month, and I have this terrible feeling it's going to be waiting for, you know, better news. I look forward to the day that the jobs and economic picture is our good martini, and then we'll have two that day.
Yeah, exactly right. And you know it's not going to be anytime soon, probably, because the White House today has said that as a result of today's new jobs numbers, they're projecting that the unemployment rate probably won't really change much, at least over the next year, which is the last thing their boss wanted to hear. But after today's report from the Labor Department showing zero, that would be zero jobs net created in the month of August, and the unemployment rate's still at 9.1. The expectations were wrong from what we heard earlier in the week. The numbers from the previous 2 months, July and June, were revised downward. Jim, as you and I have discussed before, the fact that zero jobs were created and the unemployment rate stayed the same means that quite a few people once again gave up and once again fall into categories that don't factor into this official unemployment rate, but the real unemployment rate's still up around 16%. And I guess the president can use this as a push for his jobs plan that he's going to unveil next week. But it's a very stark reminder that his previous many jobs proposals have not worked at all.
I, you know, it's one of those things where it's almost gotten, I joke that the you know, common adverb in economic stories is unexpectedly. And in a way, no one was expecting really all that much good news out of this one. August is traditionally a very slow month for economic activity to begin with. So everybody kind of figured either it's going to go up 0.1%, it's going to go down 0.1%, or it's not going to change. And it didn't change. I think everyone's kind of marveling at the, you know, absolute zero state. I think it's the first time since the 1940s they've ever had a month where this was the case. And this number may get revised. If it gets revised downward, it will mean that we actually did lose jobs in August, which is another bad sign. I think what makes this one clear is just the degree which it's stagnation, and it's lingering stagnation. And the idea of there being a double-dip recession really has gone from, you know, panic talk to, you know, it's slim chance, all right, maybe 1 in 3. You know, Wall Street will digest these numbers. The economists will run these numbers. But I think most people now believe that the chances of a double-dip recession are at least 50-50. And this really does seem to be a particularly ominous point. When the White House revised their numbers and basically said that unemployment is going to be around 9% through a year from now, well into 2012, you might as well just concede the election. I don't want to get Republicans too confident. Obviously, things can go wrong. But for any president to preside over effectively 4 straight years of 9% unemployment, Greg, I don't want to live in a country where that's considered normal or acceptable or not that bad. I wonder if Obama would still give himself a B-plus on this. I wonder if he would still say that, you know, just those darn headwinds. And it's interesting. There was some talk he might, you know, say something about the numbers today before he went off to Camp David.
No.
And last I checked, there was no statement. So I think I don't know if they have anything to say when the news is this bad. I think this puts even more spotlight on the big job speech coming Thursday night, and just don't know what the president can say that really is going to change the popular perception that we are stagnating, if not sinking.
Yeah, that doesn't bode well, and based on what we're expecting the president to say, we're probably not going to hear anything new, which means the markets and employers aren't going to be all that inspired. So, but we'll give him a chance and see what happens as you and I toggle back and forth between the speech and the pregame show for the NFL game that night. On to martini number 3 now, and I guess the real good news for the president today is he's not the crazy martini, and neither are any of his Democratic allies, as they have been throughout most of the week. No, the title here on the last day of the work week goes to Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi, who, of course, has quite a reputation. He's now convinced that he's being blackmailed, so as a result of this investigation, his phone has been tapped, and let's just say, if he were running for re-election, this would probably not bode well for him, because in a conversation in July, Berlusconi apparently erupted in a rant that would make Al Gore proud, and he says they can say, well, I won't go into this into a lot of detail because there's a lot of words we
A common metaphor for excrement comes
yes,
up.
Yes, exactly. He drops the F-bomb a couple times, and then he says, in a few months, I'm going to mind my own business from somewhere else, and I'm going to leave this, let's just say, crappy country of which I'm sickened, but the actual word describing the country starts with an S. So if that's the way you think about your country, probably good maybe to even just step down before the end of your term, because chances are you're not acting in the best interest of your country. Sad thing is, Berlusconi's about as good as we're going to get there.
And you thought Obama was anti-American? I'd like to think that, you know, he's never been that bad. Berlusconi, I mean, there are times in the past he's had some pretty pro-American views, and he's generally considered, very much in general, a man of the right over in Italy. On the other hand, always certain big personality quirks. He is a billionaire. He controls several of the TV stations. A lot of people, since the beginning of his time in leading Italy, have kind of had this concern about, effectively imagine like Rupert Murdoch being president, and you might have an idea of people believing that the kind of conflict of interest that could be there. Then we're not even getting to all the various sex scandals and the possibility of canoodling with underage women, etc. I mean, there's a certain Bacchanalian id of Berlusconi that's kind of fascinating for the modern age. I guess he's just kind of following that old Roman example of Nero or one of the more decadent Caesars there or something. But seeing a national leader basically say, I'm fed up with this place and I'm going to leave it in a blankety-blank state. I mean, if you did that in America, it'd be impeachment, I imagine. That'd be, you know, your resignation would be, you'd be resigning from office within 72 hours. We'll see how things play out for Berlusconi, but that's just Italy is a beautiful country, and hope it gets through all of this current mess, because there's very few things that could make you lose faith in your leadership than hearing them pledging to run the place to the ground on their way out the door.
It all depends what the meaning of the word fill in the blank is. I think that's gonna be his defense.
How good could it be, Greg?
Oh, gosh. Well, yeah, he's probably headed for the exits sooner rather than later after that one. But who knows? Maybe it's just taken out of context. Jim, have a great weekend.
Yeah, there's a context in which it's really good. Hey, he's leaving us blankety blank. It's awesome. Yeah.
Talk to you next week. Have a great weekend. Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us next week for the next Three Martini Lunch.